On Thursday's front page, Afghanistan is setting up local defense forces to head off attacks by the Taliban. American officials say the forces are a stopgap to deal with rising violence and frustration over how long it's taking to train permanent security personnel. An FDA advisory panel says the diabetes drug Avandia should either be taken off the market or sold with tight restrictions. And other cities are looking to copy a New York park that's long and not very wide. It's on an old elevated railroad. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Afghan government approved a plan to create local defense forces to fight the Taliban. This comes after 12 days of meetings between President Hamid Karzai and General David Petraeus. Karzai initially resisted. The program is somewhat similar to the Sunni Awakening movement in Iraq that Petraeus helped establish. But in Afghanistan, it's not expected to include insurgents who've switched sides. An FDA advisory panel voted to restrict the diabetes pill Avandia. But Avandia is not being taken off the market, despite evidence that it increases the risk of heart attacks. Times reporter Gardner Harris says the 33-member panel was split over options like adding new warning labels. GlaxoSmithKline, the company that makes Avandia, says it's a safe and needed option for treating diabetes. A list of 1,300 names marked as illegal immigrants was sent to law enforcement agencies in Utah. Times reporter Kirk Johnson says the list came with a letter demanding all 1,300 be deported.
The tone of the letter that accompanies the list is very stark and very stern. You know, we love America. We love the Constitution. We love our state. And we believe, these letter writers say, that illegal immigrants are degrading the place we love.
Republican Governor Gary Herbert has ordered state agencies to investigate how the list became public. The list also contained Social Security numbers and birth dates, along with addresses and phone numbers. There's a mystery about dead animals in the Gulf of Mexico. Autopsies aren't turning up visible signs of oil contamination. Among turtles, the evidence points to shrimping and commercial fishing, but other possible culprits include oil fumes, dispersants used to break up the oil, even disease. Times reporter Shyla Dewan has been talking to veterinary pathologists who are involved in what amounts to a huge investigation, the likes of which we've never seen on CSI.
So far, it's been very difficult to zero in on any single cause of death for these turtles and other creatures. But the stakes are very high. The results of this investigation will determine how many millions of dollars BP will have to pay to compensate for the loss of these endangered species, and will also tell us how we should respond to future oil spills in a way that would best protect wildlife.
Times reporter Shyla Dewan in Gainesville, Florida. BP began a pressure test of the runaway well that could finally stop oil from spewing into the Gulf. The test involves closing valves on a new, tight-fitting containment cap. The test had been delayed for 24 hours after government scientists questioned whether the pressure buildup would damage the well. Here in New York, officials finalized a settlement covering prisons for teenagers. Four of the state's most dangerous institutions are being placed under federal supervision. There'll also be strict new limits on when guards can use physical force, and the state will hire dozens of psychiatrists and counselors. Like Bagels and the NYPD's CompStat, the High Line Elevated Park has become a New York export. The High Line used to be a railway on a trestle that snaked down Manhattan's far west side. Then the train stopped running and it became an eyesore. Last year, after the tracks had been taken out, it opened as a park, and now other cities are trying to copy its success. Jersey City and Philadelphia have defunct railroad beds, and Chicago has old train tracks that don't look like much now, but who knows? Inside Thursday's Times, Senate Democrats have decided to opt for a scaled-back energy bill. They want to pass it before the August recess. They say the measure they once had in mind can't pass, so they'll try to get what they can rather than nothing at all. They're hoping that approach will draw in enough Republicans to overcome a filibuster, but the bill could disappoint liberals who say more needs to be done. Federal officials are considering whether to veto mountaintop mining above one valley in the Appalachians. That could be a turning point for a major environmental dispute. The Army Corps of Engineers approved a permit in 2007 to blast 400 feet off hilltops in West Virginia, exposing rich coal seams. Now the EPA is threatening to halt or scale back the project. It says streams and wildlife would be harmed in violation of federal clean water laws.
This attack on the United States will also be a revenge attack for all the Mujahideen.
The Arabic language channel Al Arabiya says that's Faisal Shahzad. He pleaded guilty last month to trying to detonate a bomb in Times Square. In the video on Al Arabiya, he also said Islam will defeat democracy and communism. Shahzad apparently intended the video to be his will. Al Arabiya says it contains the first clear evidence of his connections to the Taliban. He was the off-again-on-again boyfriend who stripped for Playgirl. She was the teenage mother who appeared on television as a spokeswoman for abstinence. Now Levi Johnston and Bristol Palin say they're back together and getting married. They told Us Weekly they reconnected while working out a custody plan for their 18-month-old son. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin issued a statement that said Bristol is now an adult and she's in charge of determining what's best for her and her child. For the first time, Toyota acknowledged that complaints about sudden acceleration were valid. Toyota said it had confirmed reports of sticky accelerator pedals and problem floor mats. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, which is says it's reached no conclusions. Thursday's Times says 90-year-old Vernon Baker died. He was the only living black veteran awarded the Medal of Honor in World War II. He got it 52 years late, 52 years after he wiped out 4 German machine gun nests in northern Italy. Later he said, quote, "I was a soldier and I had a job to do." That's our preview of Thursday's Times. We're still looking to hear from you. If you sent in a comment after Wednesday's podcast, well, we're working our way through everything that came in. If you didn't, there's no time like the present. Our email address is podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts, with an S on the end, at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. As always, thanks for spending this part of your day with us.